Martin Boozer, so you're now in Unalakleet, and you said it sounds like you might stay a while.
I think I'm going to spend the night. It's soon getting dark. Dogs need another long break. It's kind of like a poker hand. You put it all in one hand, and the dogs are tired more mentally than physically. Mm-hmm. So they need a long break, and a little TLC took a little too much out of the tank, so now we need to fuel them back up. And, you know, going into this event, I always have certain goals, and one of them is always to get to Nome. Of course, you also always wish you could win. You go in with that game plan, and I did. I tried. Ran out of trail, ran into some health issues with some of the dogs, and now I've got to execute my other goal, is to get to the finish line, because that'll be another unprecedented streak. So I already have the most consecutive finishes, and I don't want to interrupt that with I'm not going to get there.
Right. You know, recuperating and getting the dogs to a place where they're feeling better and their morale is up. Talk about how that happens. I mean, dogs feed so much off of your attitude and you know, how you're doing.
Yeah, good observation. We call it cycling. You know, the dogs cycle high and cycle low, and the drivers cycle high and cycle low, and we usually bounce off of each other. But if you have a lull, if both of the entities are in a low spot, then it's really hard to get motivated. And I think that's where I was heading last night. And after a while, you can always rationalize things. You know, I thought back what happened on the Yukon, and I know I worked too hard. So then I got to Caltech. Then when I left Caltech, I couldn't help them work really hard anymore. So they expected me to keep working so hard, and then it's a downward spiral. And they say, hey, this is not as comfortable as you can make it. And so then, you know. So it took me a long time. And between Tripod Flat and Old Woman, I could see that they're not in a mentally good state. And that's more dangerous than physically, and I don't want my young dogs, my future team, to be unhappy with me. And
now, you shared a special moment with Tony Haugen. You know, we lost Ellsworth here in Unalakleet on the 1st of March. And talk about the history of, you know, mushers used to stay in people's homes along the trail, and you used to stay at Ellsworth's home back in the day, and just talk about that a little bit. That was a really touching moment that you shared with Tony.
Well, we've been friends ever since, you know, so I was fortunate to be picked as their house guest, as one of their stinky mushers that they would house. I don't know how that came about, but once I was invited on my first Iditarod in 1980, Ellsworth cooked me a steak, and from then on, all the years that I came in, it was not even a question where I was staying. It was I'm staying at Hoagie Bear's, and so we become friends that way, stayed in touch. And then once the rules changed a little bit, because some people would abuse the willingness and the friendliness and the hospitality of the local people to their advantage, so once that got changed, we stayed friends, and he would come to the checkpoint and see me. And, of course, his kids, I would get to meet his, you know, everybody in the family and all that. So ironically, we talked about being old during the putty race, and he says, oh, I got to outlive two more guys, and then I'll be the oldest man in Unalakleet, you know. So we laughed about that, and it's... He would come wherever I would go. He would come and visit. So that was nice.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's Ellsworth, there's Tony, but it seems like you have so many friends here, the Ericksons. And talk about what that means to the whole Iditarod experience. You know, there's some mushers who don't get involved, but you're someone who does connect with people along the trail. And how does that add to just Iditarod experience, but also life experience as well?
Well, it really makes my life full. You know, I have a really funny story about going to Shaktulik on a spring day to do a graduation speech. And only if you're, well, of course, first, it's a great honor to be invited to do that. But only if you're willing to, you know, you don't just go to Shaktulik. Shaktulik, from my place, is a two-day trip, going and two-day coming. So you don't just go say, no, I'm not doing a graduation speech in Shaktulik. You say, I'm greatly honored and I love to come. And how can we make it happen? And then you go, and then you have a great time, and people remember those things. They're not paid appearances. They're not for anything but to give back to community, and kids and families are very important to me. So it's a great honor to be invited to gigs like that. And then, of course, having been around for a long time, having done it so many years, it just kind of, you know, feeds on itself. So.
All right, well, thanks so much for taking the time and your honesty there. It's very much appreciated.
So I see Allie's leaving just now. And then there's the Norwegian boy leaving.
That is a very nice-looking team.
That's Martin Boozer in Unalakleet and reporting in Unalakleet. I'm Lorelei Kinnean.